Please open your Bibles to Psalm 42. And I want us to look at one verse, verse 5. And this is how the Word of God does read. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. This morning, I want us to reflect on this topic, the elephant in the room. Let us pray. Holy Father, in the name of the Holy Son, would thou please consecrate the preaching of thy word. For indeed, thy word is life and thy word is spirit. Lord, let the word of God go forth and achieve that which thou hast purposed it to achieve. Into thy hands I commit the preaching of this word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I am sure most of us must have had our vocabulary enriched this past year with words such as pandemic, quarantine, community spread, social distancing, incubation period, droplet transmission, asymptomatic, super spreader, PPE, personal protective equipment, self-isolation, and the list goes on. Those were words that dominated the news this past year, and for obvious reasons, our world was figuratively turned upside down due to a severe acute respiratory syndrome that we know as COVID-19 that has swept through our world, taking the lives of over 2.5 million people and is still counting. Though there has been significant progress in the development of vaccines, more people are being vaccinated daily. However, the residual effect of this pandemic is threatening to ignite yet another crisis. With the new reality of social distancing, working from home, temporary unemployment, homeschooling of children, this pandemic has forced people out of their comfort zones and have impacted their emotional and mental health. According to a Yale medical article titled, Taking Your Mental Health Temperature During COVID-19, psychiatrist Adrienne Foray wrote these words, as a country, we live through this after 9/11, but the COVID-19 pandemic presents an ongoing disruption of everyday lives, which has significant implications on our psychological well-being. It also puts additional stress on pre-existing social tension along economic, cultural, and political lines. The stressors ignited by this pandemic has led to increased anxiety, fear, sleeplessness, depression, substance abuse, domestic violence, as well as suicide. Now, while some have acknowledged and sought help for these mental health issues, others have ignored the problem. Open often, as we say in our Christianized lingua, that this too shall pass and that everything will just be fine. But while it is good to hope, I believe it is even better to face the reality and try to tackle this problem head on. And this morning, I want us to face the elephant in the room, the mental crisis triggered by this pandemic. Now, in most societal settings, there is always a subtle stigmatization when it comes to mental illness or struggle. Even among Christians, there is always the assumption that mental disorder is a sickness out of the ordinary, and we place labels on those inflicted with this illness and make fun of those who even seek help. But such stigmatization and assumption have prevented so many from addressing their mental struggles, which has further increased their struggle rather than resolve it. So as a preamble this morning, I think it's expedient for us to first seek to demystify mental illness. And I'm going to do that three ways this morning. I think first, it's important for you to understand that the corruption that entered the human experience through sin has made all of us susceptible to all kinds of human infirmities, including mental illness. You really want to write that down. You know, the Bible clearly describes our bodies as a body of death. Writing to the church at Rome, the Apostle Paul said these words, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" What this means is this, that while our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, it is also a body that is subject to decay. And such decay comes in form of human infirmities and sickness. In other words, the moment a child is born, the process of decay actually begins. They actually begin to die. And part of that process of decay is our body's susceptibility to all kinds. Again, I want you to pay attention to all kinds of human infirmities and sickness. So struggling with mental disorder is not out of the realm of the ordinary. It is actually part of the human infirmity that we all share as humans. So people that are struggling mentally are not just an exceptional set of people. They all share in our struggles. The second demystification of mental illness is this. You know, struggling with mental crisis is not indicative of spiritual weakness. I know you have heard this word said before, too blessed to be stressed. But I hate to bust your bubble. Christians do get stressed. Christians do get depressed. Christians do get anxious. Christians are fearful. Christians contemplate suicide. It is not a sign of spiritual weakness. Rather, it is the inadequacy of our humanity on display. I want you to pay attention to what I just said. It is not a sign of spiritual weakness. Rather, it is the inadequacy of our humanity that is always on display when we struggle in those areas. And throughout the Bible, great spiritual giants have struggled with some form of mental crisis or another. Let's look at some example. Jacob, the son of Isaac and Rebecca, after sojourning many years in Mesopotamia, was trying to return to Canaan, and he had to face his brother Esau. And on his way, he suffered what I can classify as an anxiety attack or a panic attack. We read in Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 6, that when messengers returned to Jacob saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and furthermore is coming to meet you and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people who were with him and the flock and the herds and all the camels into two companies. And then Jacob began to pray. Look at verse 11. He cried out to the Lord, said, "Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and attack me and the mothers of my children." Jacob suffered a panic attack. We read in Psalm 42, this psalm is attributed to the son of Korah. And we don't know what they were going through. But in verse 5, the psalmist writes, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." Again, perhaps the son of Korah was experiencing a state of despondency, a state of apathy. And in their psalm, they composed and they revealed their struggle. Then we go to Elijah the Tishbite. After defeating the prophet of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18, great deliverance, the manifestation of the power of Yahweh, fire coming down from heaven. Then we come to chapter 19. Then Jezebel threatened them. And Elijah ran for cover. But not only did he run, he came down and sat down on the juniper tree. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 4. And when he sat down, he requested the Lord. He said, "It is enough. Oh, my Lord, take my life. For I'm no better than my father." Elijah has come to a point of mental crisis. He wanted the Lord to take his life. Wasn't worth living. This was a spiritual giant. Then we come to the great apostle Paul, winning souls for Christ throughout the Gentile world. And he wrote of his own mental struggle in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. This is what he wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of the affliction which came upon us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despise even of life." Watch that struggle. Despised even of life. He was tired of life because of the struggles and affliction that came upon him on his missionary journey. This man's struggle was in no way indicative of spiritual weakness. Rather, it was the inadequacy of the humanity on display. And I tell you what, we looked at the Theoanthropos, the Lord Jesus. While the Lord Jesus knew the cross was before him, when he came to Gethsemane, he told his disciple, "My soul is extremely grieved." It was the dark night of the soul for our Savior. His humanity was on display. It wasn't a crisis for the Lord Jesus, but we see the display of his humanity. It wasn't because none of those men were weak. It was because this was their humanity that's on display. And at times, my brothers and my sisters, when we go through this season of time, that we don't know what God is doing, that we don't see the hand of God, some of us display this humanity. We struggle with anxiety, we struggle with worry, we struggle with despondency, but that does not negate the fact of our spiritual strength, because our humanity is on display. There's a third thing I need to demystify this morning, and that is this. Mental illness is not an unending torment. You want to write that down. Mental illness is not an unending torment. You know, some assume that is normal life is a pipe dream when it comes to mental illness. They assume that mental illness is a revolving door. But such blanket assumption is farther from the truth. Mental illness can be treated effectively to minimize the symptoms and allow the individual to function in work, school, and social environment. You know, the only caveat here is that that person must admit their struggle and try to seek help. But don't make that mistake. Mental illness is not an unending torment. There are treatments, there are recovery for mental illness. So this brings us to the treatment available for mental disorders and treatment illness. Now, I need to make one delineation before talking about the treatment of mental illness here. You know, mental illness can take two forms. They can be situational and clinical. Let me work this out. A situational mental crisis is usually a short-term form of crisis that occurs as a result of some traumatic event or change in a person's life. And an example of this is this pandemic. While on the other hand, a clinical mental crisis can be more severe and long-term. Now, in the case of a clinical mental illness, medication and intense therapy might be a path to victory. Now, I know as Christians, when you hear something like medication, you get uneasy. Pastor Wally, what are you talking about here? Well, it is important to know that such approach is not a lack of faith in the healing power of God. I want to place it right there. It is not a lack of faith. I know some of you like to bring the oil and call the elders of the church to lay hands and have a deliverance service. That's all right. But taking medication and going to intense therapy is not indicative of a lack of faith in the healing power of God. Just like taking Advil for headache is not indicative of a lack of faith in the healing power of God. You don't call the elders of the church when you got a migraine headache, do you? Yes, no, you don't. You take a medicine to make you feel better. And I truly believe those that experience an intense clinical mental struggles, because those mediums can actually be God's instrument of healing. And I want you to understand that God can use different intermediaries as a source of healing. Doctors are a source of healing. God can use them in the practice of their profession to heal our bodies. Surgeries are intermediaries. All kinds of things that medically can be useful for our bodies are intermediaries of God's healing. But at times, God can choose to bypass those things and supernaturally heal. But when it comes to clinical mental struggle, the pathway to recovery might be medication and intense therapy. However, when it comes to situational mental crisis, there are different spiritual as well as pragmatic pathways to deliverance. And this is what I want to key on this morning. This is what I want to key on. What are some of the spiritual or pragmatic ways when we enter this period of struggle like we are going through today? And I believe for majority of people that are going through a lot of mental struggle at this present time, most of it are situational. But here are the pragmatic and spiritual pathway to victory. First, I believe you must acknowledge your inadequacies and lean on God's sufficiency. Again, I want you to understand what I just said. You must have to acknowledge your inadequacies and lean on God's sufficiency. Let's go again to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, the Apostle Paul's struggle. Here, the Apostle Paul said to the church of Corinth, he said in verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came upon us in Asia, that we are burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despise even of life. Indeed, we add the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, he will yet deliver us. What is the Apostle Paul saying? Apostle Paul confessed his own inadequacy and said, listen, I'm leaning on the sufficiency of God. You know, life's challenges will come your way and my way, whether we invite them or not. They will enter into our experience that brings things that are totally beyond our control, and we are powerless over those situations. So what do we do in those times? We must be willing to acknowledge our inadequacy by reminding ourselves of our own finiteness, that we are not Superman, we are not Superwoman. That we cannot fix, that we cannot be a solution to every problem out there. That all things, you can't be all things to all people. Neither can we fix every single problem in our life. At times we cannot. And this is the key as Christians. You are not a super Christian. You are not this gigantic Christian that has every power to heal everything, to know everything. God has not given us that grace. But even in our inadequacy, God wants to be our sufficiency. And as the Apostle Paul will now later pray in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that God, I prayed 3 times to take this thorn off my flesh. But God said, no, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. And that is the key to it. God perfects his power in our weakness. So when you are going through your adversity, when you are going through your mental struggle, when you are depressed, when you are sad, when you feel helpless, when you feel anxious, you need to say to God, Lord, I can't deal with this. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your compassion. And God, who is faithful, who understands. And the key thing is that we don't have an high priest that does not sympathize with our weakness. Jesus, if he sympathizes with our feelings of our weakness, he understands. He understands our weakness. And the Lord Jesus will be able to grant the grace that you may be able to endure and pass through this season, because he understands your weakness. That is why, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be able, like Peter said, to cast our cares upon the Lord, because he cares for us. The second way that I believe is pragmatic, that you and I can be liberated from the mental crisis of this season, we have to get connected to others. If possible, a support group. You want to write that down. Get connected to others. If possible, a support group. You know, mental crisis tends to flourish in isolation. You know, when you're by yourself, they say the idle man is the devil's, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know, the devil knows how to maneuver and manipulate our minds in our times of struggle. That is why it's important for you to get around people, to draw around people that are like-minded, to draw around people that you may be able to draw strength from others and be able to draw strength from them. And this is how we can be able to draw strength even in this season. Unfortunately, one of the key things about this pandemic is that we are separated from one another. Social distancing. We are isolated from one another. That is why for you to get connected, you got to improvise. How do you improvise? You can improvise by having and attempting every week or so to have a FaceTime, to have a Zoom meeting, to meet with people that you can share your feelings with, people that can help you. You got to take advantage of the technology that is available here, but you have to be intentional about it. You have to be intentional in going forth and reaching out to other people so that the people that you reach out to can help you to draw strength. I know I'm talking to many this morning who might be going through isolation, seniors that can come out and they're shut in their homes, but you got to find a way. Get connected. There's so many groups online that can help in different ways that you can build yourself up so that your mental state can improve. But there's a final spiritual way, I believe, this morning that could be a pathway to deliverance. Number three, you got to practice the discipline of encouraging yourself. Practice the discipline of encouraging yourself. In a unique narrative in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David was running from Saul, and he ran to the land of the Philistines, and they gave him this city of Ziklag to be in, to dwell with his family and his men. And we're told that the Philistines was going to battle with the Israelites, and David wanted to go with the Philistines, but the lords of the Philistines said, David, you need to go back because we don't trust you. You might turn against us in the battle. And when David came back to Ziklag, the Amalekites had raided the camp that was in Ziklag and had taken everything, their children, the children of these men, and everything they've raided, they've taken it. And we're told that there was a great weeping by the men of David. And when they were weeping, we're told in verse 6 of chapter 30 of 1 Samuel that moreover, David was greatly distressed. He was greatly distressed because the people were talking of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself. And I want you to pay attention to that. This was a crisis. This was a crisis, a mental crisis that has entered the experience of David and his men. And they're threatening to even stone David, their leader. And David, in all this stress that was coming upon him, in all this fear, in all these things that was coming into his life, David, we're told, encouraged himself in the Lord. How did David encourage himself? I believe David had to go back and understand who he was in the Lord, and he had to understand that who was his strength. And I truly believe in this season and in this time, even in this time when each one of us are combated and pressed down by the weight of this pandemic, we as believers got to learn the discipline of encouraging ourselves. We got to learn the discipline of having to speak life into our own self. We got to learn the discipline of having to remember whose we are. Remember whose you are. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. You are the child of the living God. You have been appointed and anointed by God. You have been adopted into the family of God. You have become joint heirs with Christ. And for you, the best is yet to come. It has not yet appeared what you and I shall be. But when we see him, we shall be just like him. The Bible said he who has that hope in himself purifies himself just like Jesus is pure. And my brothers and sisters, this morning, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this mental stress, you need to speak life to your own body. You need to speak life to yourself. You need to remind your own self that I am the child of a living God. You need to remind yourself that weeping might endure for the night, but there is a joy that is coming in the morning. You need to remind yourself that this light affliction that you're going through in this world is actually working for you, a weight of glory beyond all comparison in the heavenly realms. And one day this all shall pass. One day you and I will come before that God. And as the song said, we shall understand it better by and by. By and by, by and by, when the morning comes, and you need to remind yourself and to stand up and be the man, the woman of God that God has called you to be, because the battle ain't lost yet. Even in the midst of this time, the battle ain't lost yet. There is still much glory awaiting you and I in the presence of our living God. This morning, that is the elephant in the room. Deal with your crisis, but in dealing with it, understand that God is your strength and your salvation. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, I do pray now, Father, that I will consecrate this word for everyone who hears. May the mercy of the grace of God fill every life. May they understand the truth of our great God. I commit to thee this morning the preaching of this word. In Jesus' name I pray.